بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is Dr. Ali Zini, and we're dealing with one of the most interesting names of Allah today, which is name Al-Wasi'. Allah is Al-Wasi'. Okay. Al-Wasi' in Arabic means the vast or the infinity. A more modern translation would be the infinity, because we all understand what the infinity is. So for a very simple man, when you say Arabian man, Bedouin man, when you say Al-Wasi', he will tell you that Al-Wasi' means so big and so bigger than anything else. That would be the answer of the simple Bedouin person. And but for us, since we're more educated, more sophisticated, our minds are a little bit more sophisticated and things like that, the infinity would be the best translation, in my opinion, to this name, the name of Allah, the infinity. Okay, it is the one, the unlimited, or the one you cannot limit, or Allah is infinity, or He is above all, and He will go on for millions and millions of years, essentially forever. He never started. He never ended. He will never end. There is no start and end to Him. It's just He never started and He never ended. Okay? Now, this name proves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Why? Because two infinities cannot coexist in the same place. Two infinities cannot exist in the same place. If you have two infinities, they cannot coexist in the same place. Yes, look here. If we have infinity one and infinity two, there has to be a boundary between infinity one and infinity two. There has to be a boundary where infinity one ends and infinity two starts. And by definition, an infinity cannot have a boundary. You cannot have a boundary for an infinity. If it has a boundary, then it's not an infinity. It's something else. It becomes finite. It's not infinity. Okay? So we cannot have two infinities in the same in existence, because there is only one infinity, which is Allah. He's the only one infinity. Okay. We have two kinds of infinity: the circular infinity and the straightforward infinity. Okay, the circular infinity is running around, you know, like day, night, night, day, night, day, night, day, night, circular, going in circles, day, night, day, night, day, night, or winter, spring, fall, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, keeps going. Every day, day after day after day after day after day. These are called circular infinities, which it goes around and around and always the same. It just goes into cycle. You can call it cyclic infinity or circular infinity. And this is a fake infinity. Why? Because it will have one time will come where this cycle is going to stop. The cycle is going to stop. So yes, day, night, day, night, day, night, day, night, day, night. But at the end, it's going to stop. Everything is going to stop. And there will not be any day, night anymore. So it is a false infinity. It's also a fake infinity that the shaitan uses to deceive people, make them think that they will live forever by telling them that you will keep going into these cycles, day, night cycles, forever. It will never end. And that's false, because the day-night cycles, every cycle that we have in this life now is going to end by the Day of Judgment. When the Day of Judgment happens, takes place, then these cycles are going to end. It's going to be end of cycles. So, but the shaitan wants you to think that it's going on forever. And even before the Day of Judgment, everyone, when you die, your cycles end. The cycles that you know end, okay? A Day of Judgment for any person is the time where this person dies. When you die, your Day of Judgment starts. Your personal Day of Judgment starts. So that is the cyclic. This is when the cyclic or the circular infinity stops there. So shaitan makes you feel that infinity, circular infinity, okay, is going to keep going forever, forever, forever. Okay. Now, which the other one is straightforward, the infinity, where you keep moving forward, you find where you keep moving forward, forward, and nothing repeats. Everything is new, 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 from new to new to new to new. Everything is new, one after another. Circular, it's a straightforward infinity. The circular infinity is an infinity proposed by the shaitan, okay? The straight infinity is the true infinity that Allah's promising. The true infinity, Allah's promising Jannah. Jannah is a straight infinity. If we look at the circular infinity, let's look at the zoo, for example. If we're talking about the zoo, you find that in the zoo, you keep going around. You keep going around the entrance, the exit. There's the entrance. Here's the exit. And you go the first round or the first cycle, the first round. You're so excited about everything you see. It's very exciting. It's very new. You go from the entrance and then all the way to the exit. Okay. So if you take one round, you're excited. You take the second round, it's good. Third round, it's kind of boring. Fourth round, oh no, it's boring. I've seen it all. See, this is the round infinity or the circular infinity or the cyclic infinity. It's boring because, you know, once you have seen it once you have seen it all, it's no longer exciting. Okay. You can still be excited the second time, but if you keep going, you know, you lose your interest completely because you have seen everything here before. Okay. So that's not really the infinity we're looking for. We're not looking for we're looking for the straight path infinity or the straight infinity, which is a straight line. You can also put a straight line infinity where everything is new. Everything is new. In Jannah, it's infinity, 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 after an infinity, after an infinity, after an infinity. It's every day in Jannah, you see something new. New, like the Prophet says, what it means that the Jannah changes its clothes every day. The clothes, like the clothes you're wearing. So he's using that expression to the Jannah, that Jannah is changing its clothes every day, meaning that you see new things, you discover new things. And the amount of enjoyment in Jannah, it goes up. So every day is more exciting than the day before, unlimited. I like that, straightforward, unlimited. And every day will be better than the day before, unlimited, going up. And one of the nice things about Jannah is that there will be no differences in opinion between people. They will all agree on the same thing in Jannah. So there will be no disputes or disagreements or arguments or things like that, because everybody, okay, will have the same heart. Basically, you agree on everything and you disagree on You know, you agree on the same thing and you disagree on the same things. So that's even better. There is no argument. There is no difference of opinions because your opinions are the same. You agree on all opinions and you disagree with other opinions. Okay. I can't go on describing Jannah once. It doesn't matter how much I describe it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. It has things that no eye have ever seen, no ear has ever heard of, and no mind has ever imagined. No mind ever imagined. It has things that no minds ever imagined. No mind ever imagined. No ear has ever heard that description. No eye has ever seen that. So, and Allah called it surprises. In one surah, Allah says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ in Surah Al-Sajdah, Allah says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No single soul could ever imagine, no soul would ever imagine what I've prepared to them to please their eyes as a reward for what they have been doing in this life. Okay? So Allah saying, no eye would ever imagine, would ever think of what I've prepared to them. And then on the top of that, Allah says, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, that they will get what they want. Everything they want, they will get. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, and we have more extra surprises. So in addition to what you ask for, Allah will give you surprises. Unlimited, infinite number of surprises every day. The surprise after surprise after surprise. And then the ultimate joy, the best joy in Jannah that exceeds all other joys, is looking at the face of Allah. Looking at the face of Allah is the highest joy in Jannah. And to the level that if the people burning in hell, in the bottom layer of hell, seventh basement, seventh layer down in hell, underground. Those who are being tortured there, if they get to see the face of Allah, they would enjoy as much as the people in Jannah. Because the face of, looking at the face of Allah overrides all the pain and the suffering that they are happening to them. They will override it completely and they will enjoy as much as the people of Jannah are enjoying. This is how much pleasure comes out of seeing the face of Allah. And this is how the Bible ranks fairy. There is the elite group and there is the average group in Jannah. So the elite group, those are go to very, very high places in Jannah. And the average group, we can think of it like, like the stars. The average group, if you are one of the average group, you will see the elite group like we see the stars up in heavens. So the difference would be like the difference between us and the stars, between earth and stars. This will be the difference between the elite groups and the average group. See, the elite group would look to the average group as way similar as if you are looking at the stars in the heavens. And the elite groups, they get to see Allah's face every day, but the other average group, they don't get to see Allah as much. They get invited once in a while to see Allah every, like God knows, every time period, they would be invited to see the face of Allah. But other than that, this elite group has established he had established privilege, which is to see the face of Allah at any time. Now, another thing in Jannah, if the Jannah is not infinity, okay, if the Jannah is not infinity, it's not going to be as fun, as much fun. The Jannah is infinity. It's a joy in itself, because let's say if Allah would make the Jannah, if Allah would say the Jannah is only 50 million years, and after this 50 million years, where do you go? So, and also it would be a point of worry, like in Jannah, oh, I'm going to, this Jannah is going to end after 50 million years. Oh my God. I mean, you would be worried about that, because the Jannah is free of worry. Like if you have a serious worries, you will not think about what's going to happen in the next 50 million years. Okay, because you have a lot more serious things to think about and worry about. But in Jannah, there is nothing to worry about. So the fact that you know that it's going to end in 50 million years, that makes you like kind of worried in Jannah. Oh, and then you might be asking, what is going to happen after the 50 million years are over? Do I go to hell, or do I cease existence, or am I going to be transformed into dust? You know, it would be a source of worry, but Allah even kept this worry away from us by saying it's unlimited. Millenniums after millenniums, millions of years after millions of years, billions of years after billions of years, it is infinity. It is infinity. It's a total infinity. No ending. And the people of the hellfire, especially the one on the bottom layer, it's non-ending. It's an infinity. Infinity of torture at the bottom of the hell for infinity number of years. The bottom of the bottom layer of the hell. Some people say that the hell itself is going to be limited, not unlimited. It will go for millenniums and millenniums and millions of years, and at the very end is going to end. Okay, but for sure the bottom layer of the hellfire is not ending. Okay, so scholars say that it's possible for the hellfire to end, and Allah will take the people of hell and turn them into dust, and that's it. They will just vanish. This could apply to the first layer, second layer, third layer, etc. But it doesn't apply to, for sure, doesn't apply to the bottom layer, because the bottom layer is everlasting layer of hellfire, infinite. But the other layers they stay for very, very long time, sometimes millions of years. But at the end, they will be closed, and the people will be turned into dust. Now, the first layer of, we know that the first layer of hell is for the believers. The believers who did bad deeds, they get the first layer of hell, okay? And after a while, this layer is going to close, because Allah will take every believer and send them to Jannah. After this believer washes away the sins and the evil that they did, okay, after it's being washed away in hellfire, burned in hellfire, then that person will come out pure from hellfire, pure of sins, like all sins have been burned in hell. And so he paid off for all his sins, and then that person goes to Jannah, but doesn't go with the average group, or the, of course, not the high elite, not the elite, nor the average. It goes under the third group, which is the lower group. It's still Jannah, but it's a lower group. Allah described it, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ described it on the tongue of Allah, or Allah described it on the tongue of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He said that this Jannah that they are having, the lower Jannah, is the Jannah that equal to 10 times this world. So it's like a king who owns this world times 10. He gets like a king who owns 10 times as much as this world. Okay. That would be the lower. That's the lower place in Jannah. That's the lower place in Jannah. So, and that Shaitan was clever in deceiving Adam. How did the Shaitan offer Adam? to Shaitan offered Adam an infinity. This is how he tricked him. We humans love infinity. I'm not aware of anybody who doesn't love infinity. Would like to have infinity life. Would like to have infinity supply of food. Infinity supply for money. Infinity, infinity, infinity. We'd love infinity. Creations of Allah love the infinity. So the shaitan was able to use this door to trick Adam. The shaitan told him, Allah is not letting you. Told him, if you eat from the tree, then Allah will turn you into everlasting angels. You will have an everlasting life. If you eat from this tree, you will have infinity. Okay. So Adam was deceived. He thought that this tree will give him an infinite life. Okay. So that was the trick. Shaitan used the love of infinity in the hearts of Adam to convince him, if you eat from this tree, you will have an everlasting life. You will live infinity. You will never die. Okay? But of course, the shaitan is lying, because eating from this tree made Adam, that tree was a tree from earth, and it made Adam wants to go to do bathroom stuff, like number one and number two. And this is not allowed in Jannah, of course. Jannah cannot take these poisons. Jannah environment is so pure that it doesn't allow any kind of filth or dirt in it, just like 0%, 100% pure. So shaitan convinced him. That's how the shaitan tricked him. He said, infinity. هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. Shall I tell you about the tree of everlasting life that will give you everlasting life as a king? Okay? And then he ate from the tree, and as a result, Allah sent them down to earth. Now, Adam got some kind of infinity, but it's not a true infinity, which is the children of Adam not everlasting, but they will last for a very long time. So Adam and his children will be kind of everlasting, but there's an end, the day of judgment, but they will keep going. Children of Adam, they would keep going until the end of judgment. So that was the infinity that the shaitan knew, or the shaitan tricked Adam into that infinity that we live today, that Adam and his children were going to stay long life on earth. And subhanallah, in Surah Al-Insan, Allah saying that a time will come when, basically, Allah saying the life of all mankind on earth is nothing compared to the life of earth itself. The life of earth is like 14 billion years. And the human's existence on earth is what, like 10? Like, no, 10,000 is unrealistic, I would say. Let's say 1 million years from Prophet Adam, the first man, to the last man before the day of judgment. Let's say 1 million years. Okay? This is nothing compared to 14 billion years. That's what we're talking about, the humanity in general. But I'm talking about a human. The longest time humans lived was 1,000 years, or a little bit more than 1,000 years. Okay? So Adam lived exactly 1,000 years. Noah lived probably the same, because he spent 950 years warning his people. So I guess he started when he was an adult. So probably he's and he also lived after his people died. So probably around 1,000 years. So So the life of one individual, which is 1,000 years, is nothing compared to 14 billion years. 14 billion years. So what is 1,000 years compared to 15 billion years? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the life of humans on earth is nothing compared to the age itself, of the earth itself. The earth was empty, completely empty from humans. The humans did not exist on earth for millions of years. And then at the very end, Allah decided to create Adam and Eve and send them to earth. Towards the end of the life, towards the end of the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Okay, sizes. The size of the second heaven is like a quarter in the desert. The second heaven. We have seven heavens. The size of the second heaven, the size of the first heaven to the second heaven is a quarter in the desert. It's like a quarter in the desert, like a coin in the desert. Between the second and the third is a coin in the desert. Between the third and fourth, it's a coin in the desert. Between the fifth and sixth, it's a coin in the desert. Between sixth and seventh, it's a coin in the desert. And between the seventh and the throne of Allah is a coin in the desert. And the royal chair of Allah is above the most magnificent creation of Allah is the throne. That is the most magnificent creation of Allah. There is an angel who was so much dedicated to the worship of Allah that he went and he asked Allah to give him 70,000 years and 70,000 wings so that he can circulate the throne of Allah and making tasbih. So Allah gave him what he wanted. At the end of the 70,000 years, the angel did not cross from the throne by as much as the coin in the desert. At the very end, after having 70,000 wings and 70,000 years, okay? When I say wing and things like that, don't think of the wings of the birds. No, the wings of an angel is not like the wings of the bird, okay? That's how they can have 70,000 wings. So, in order to imagine the infinity of, we cannot imagine the infinity of Allah. We are forbidden from thinking, trying to imagine Allah. We're completely forbidden from trying to imagine Allah. Anytime you try to imagine Allah, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah means Allah's way above and beyond any imagination. Because anything you can think of, Allah's different. You cannot imagine how Allah is. So we're not allowed to think and imagine what Allah is. We are only allowed to think and imagine the creation of Allah. So we can see the reflection of Allah's infinity on the creation. And that's how we can appreciate the infinity of Allah, by appreciating the infinity of His creation. Of course, the unlimited cannot create the limited. The infinity cannot create another infinity. Actually, two infinities cannot exist. So the everlasting, okay, the everlasting is made by the infinity. In other words, if we think of the Jannah and the heavens of Allah, then we can think of infinity. Now let's focus on the first heaven, the heaven that we live and we see. In there, let's imagine how much infinity exists in this, okay, in this creation of Allah, to just have a taste of the infinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will come in just a few seconds. Now, before we get there, there were two angels traveling in opposite directions. One of them talked to the other. They met in the middle here somewhere. And they start to talk. The first one said, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I was with Allah." The second one, he said, "And I was with Allah too." And they were all traveling in opposite directions like this. So he is coming from Allah. He's coming from Allah. One angel is going up, the angel, the other one is going down. They meet. I'm coming from Allah. I am coming from Allah. Then that gives you a taste of that Allah is beyond limits and boundaries and bounds. Now let's watch to appreciate the infinity of Allah. Let's watch the infinity of His creation.
This is a real-life lore video made possible by Squarespace. Make your next move with a beautiful website from Squarespace. This is Earth. You live here on this planet somewhere, and everything that you've ever known is located right here. But just how small exactly is Earth when compared to the scale of the entire universe? Let's start by zooming out to where we can see our nearest cosmic neighbor, the Moon. You may think that the Moon is very close to Earth since it dominates our night skies, but in reality, the Moon isn't this close to our planet. It's actually about this far away, 384,400 kilometers away from you right now on average. You could fit 30 entire Earths in between this distance, and if you somehow were able to drive a car at a constant 100 kilometers per hour speed, it would take you about 160 days to drive the entire distance. Despite this incredible distance, however, 12 humans have actually set foot here, representing the furthest away that any individual human has ever been away from the Earth, and one of humanity's greatest achievements. This is what the Earth would look like from there if you were standing there with them, and if you wanted to communicate with somebody back at home, it would take a message about 2.5 seconds to travel between you and them, since that's how fast the speed of light can travel at. This is a photo that was taken on Mars, and that tiny dot that you see there is Earth as seen from the Martian surface. On average, Mars is an incredible 225 million kilometers away from Earth, but that distance can be as high as 401 million kilometers. That means that whenever humanity finally gets around to landing a human on the planet, that person will be 986 times further away from Earth than the astronauts who landed on the Moon were. In addition, the time delay for sending a message from Mars back to Earth isn't just 2.5 seconds, it's actually more like 20 minutes each direction, which would render instant communication in the event of an emergency impossible. When we zoom out even further away, we can find the Voyager 1 space probe, which is the furthest away man-made object from Earth. It is currently located 138 AUs from the Earth, AU meaning astronomical unit, which is the distance between the Earth and the Sun, which means that Voyager 1 is 138 times further away from us than the Sun is. At some point on its long voyage, Voyager 1 turned its camera around and took this photograph. It may not look like much at first, but in my opinion, this is the greatest single photograph ever taken in all of human history. This tiny, pale blue dot is Earth, and I don't think that anybody has ever said something as amazing about this as Carl Sagan when he said, "If you look at it, you see a dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever lived, lived out their lives. The aggregate of all our joys and sufferings, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines. Every hunter and every forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilizations, every king and every peasant, every young couple in love, every hopeful child, every mother and every father, every inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam." Voyager 1 is currently traveling at 17 kilometers every single second, but even at that speed, it won't break out of the reach of our solar system for another 30,000 years. Once we go beyond the solar system, we arrive in our interstellar neighborhood. Here we shift to the light year unit of measurement, which is the distance that light travels in a full Earth year, or about 9.461 trillion kilometers. The star Proxima Centauri here is the closest other star to us other than our Sun, but it's still 4.24 light years away from us. To put that into perspective, if it was heading in the right direction, it would still take Voyager 1 over 70,000 years to reach it. In other words, if you drove your car at 100 kilometers an hour like in our previous example to the moon, it would take over 6 times longer than the entire age of the universe is just to finally get there, and it wouldn't even exist still when you arrived. When we zoom out even further, we can see the entire Milky Way galaxy, inside of which Earth is located right here. This yellow dot is the furthest extent of humanity's radio broadcasts throughout history, which means that any possible aliens who live outside of this range are totally unaware of humanity's presence. It's complete silence outside of this yellow dot as far as we are currently aware, but the entire galaxy spans over 100,000 light years from end to end. There are over 100 billion stars and over 100 billion planets inside of our galaxy. But you have never seen the full glory of the galaxy at night, because 99% of the stars that you can see with the naked eye are limited to this small, tiny region right here. But even this massive galaxy is nothing compared to the rest of what's out there. Zooming out even further, and we arrive at the local group of galaxies, a collection of 54 different galaxies that is about 10 million light years across. But zooming out even further, and we can see the Virgo supercluster, of which the local group here is just a tiny segment of. There are at least 100 other groups of galaxies just like our own local group inside of here, and the distance from one side to the other is a mind-numbing 110 million light years. But even the massive Virgo supercluster is nothing but a quiet and tiny lobe of the great Laniakea supercluster, an enormous structure that is home to our galaxy as well as 100,000 other galaxies. The distance from one side to the other is 520 million light years, but from even there we can zoom out all the way to the entire observable universe and see that even the titanic Laniakea supercluster is just a tiny and insignificant part of everything. This is the observable universe, and it contains everything that we know of. It is home to at least 2 trillion different and individual galaxies, which together contain more stars than there are grains of sand on the entire Earth. The distance from Earth to any side of the observable universe is 46.5 billion light years, which means that the entire width is 93 billion light years across. What's perhaps even more interesting, however, is what actually lies beyond the observable universe. Keep in mind that the observable universe is all that we can currently see, and it's entirely possible that the rest of the universe outside of it is vastly larger and more fantastic than we can possibly ever imagine. We simply don't know what else is out there, because the light from these incredibly distant places has not yet had enough time in the universe's history to reach us yet back on Earth. And the light from some places may never reach us at all. Because some parts of space very far away from Earth are expanding away from us faster than the speed of light, that means that the light from these places will never, in an infinite amount of time, reach Earth. Meaning that even if humanity is eternal and exists forever, there will still be an unknown number of places in the universe that we will never know about or ever see. So, it is very likely that as unbelievably enormous as it seems, the observable universe is just a tiny slice of what we can currently see of the entire universe. According to the theory of cosmic inflation that was proposed by Dr. Alan Guth, if it is assumed that cosmic inflation began at 10 to the negative 37th of a second after the Big Bang, and with the assumption that the size of the universe before inflation began was equal to its age times the speed of light, then this would seem to suggest that at the present day, the entire universe is 150 sextillion times larger than the observable universe. That number for reference looks like this, with this many zeros. Let this number sink in for just a moment. This would be similar to you thinking that the entire observable universe, everything that you could see, was the size of a light bulb, but then realizing that in reality the entire universe is larger than the former planet of Pluto. Imagine a light bulb in the center of Pluto, but we inside the light bulb were totally unaware that Pluto existed outside of it, and that's a similar situation to this. We are all so unbelievably small, but you shouldn't worry, because all that means is that there is so much left out there for us to discover together. This video was made possible by Squarespace. If you're wanting to create a new website for your next project, Squarespace is the absolute easiest way of doing
it. Okay. So just imagine this infinity. This is just the infinity of the first heaven. We're talking about the first heaven. And there's an interesting discussion about what was before the Big Bang.
This is a Second Thought video made possible by Squarespace. Make your next move with a beautiful website from Squarespace. There are plenty of theories about how our universe began, but currently the most prevalent scientific theory is that everything came into existence at a single moment known as the Big Bang. But if everything was created at this one moment, what came before the Big Bang? As our understanding has developed, we've come to realize that our universe is expanding, and with our current technology, we can say with relative certainty that the Big Bang occurred about 13.8 billion years ago. Over the years, our space telescopes have allowed us to look further and further back in time, observing the faintest lights of the universe that formed just 300,000 years after the Big Bang. To gain an even better understanding of the beginning of the universe, scientists used the Large Hadron Collider to approximate the conditions of the Big Bang, on a much smaller scale, of course. But that's as far back as we can go, and that's just not good enough, is it? We humans are wired with an innate tendency to assume cause and effect. Everything that happens can be assumed to have a cause, or it wouldn't have happened, right? So, if we rewind time, back through the expansion of the universe, before galaxies formed, to the moment before the explosion that caused everything, what do we find? Well, maybe nothing. Some scientists speculate that before the Big Bang was a massively dense, infinitely tiny singularity, a point at which time and the laws of physics did not exist. If time didn't exist, then there is no before. Others suspect that the Big Bang may actually have been a big bounce. Another universe may have existed before ours that, after many billions of years, stopped expanding and collapsed in on itself and formed a single, unbelievably massive black hole, eventually collapsing into the singularity that exploded into our current universe. Proponents of the idea suspect that this big bounce could have been occurring forever, and will continue to happen forever. Okay, but what caused the first universe in this series? No one knows for sure. Perhaps the first universe was always there, and our human understanding is not equipped to accept that fact. Albert Einstein once said that trying to understand what came before the Big Bang is like trying to figure out what's more north than the North Pole. Another hypothesis is that our universe is just one of an infinite number of universes, each floating around in some higher dimension. Some scientists suspect that the expansion of our universe, and potentially any universe, is the effect of a neighboring universe's gravity. And when two or more of these universes collide with each other, it should leave a distinctive marking in the cosmic microwave background, which we should be able to detect. The only problem is, we haven't ever detected anything of the sort. Others propose that a collision between universes would spark a cataclysmic event, a Big Bang, and create an entirely new universe. The existence of a multiverse like this relies upon string theory being correct. And while string theory does have traction in the scientific community, the jury is still out on its overall acceptance. So really, the only honest answer anyone can currently give to the question of what came before the Big Bang is, we don't know. Okay, we might not know right now, but what are we doing to find a real answer? As with anything in science, experts are constantly trying new things and coming up with potential solutions to difficult problems. In the near future, we'll see the launch of the long-awaited James Webb Space Telescope, which will give us an unprecedented ability to see way back to the very early universe and observe the formation of the very oldest galaxies. Perhaps Webb will allow us to unlock the secrets of the beginning of space and time, or maybe it will just give us more questions to answer. Regardless of the outcome, this is one of the biggest and most intriguing riddles science has yet to solve. And when we do solve it, our understanding of the universe and the very nature of space and time will likely never be the same. What do you think? Has our universe been around forever? Did we come from a black hole? Or are we living in just one of countless universes? Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. While we wait for an answer to this question, you should keep track of your own predictions for how the universe began.
All right, you have seen how much infinity of the buffet. You can see the infinity. And by this, by the way, this video, what was before the Big Bang, we know. We are not puzzled. We know that Allah created this mass that exploded, Allah created it miraculously. It existed by a miracle from Allah, the miracle of creation, that Allah started the Big Bang, and He is the one who made the laws of nature and the laws of physics work to form this earth the way it is and to form the universe the way it is. So what was before the Big Bang question to us is, yes, Allah is the one who started the Big Bang. Nobody else did. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other theories, scientific theories that you have heard, is for the people who don't believe in a creator. We believe in a creator, Allah, that He created everything. He's the one before the Big Bang. He's the one after the end of the universe. He was before. Allah was before the Big Bang without start, and He's after the end of the universe without end. So He's not, He at the end, He's at stop but without end. He's at start but without begin. Okay, so if you have any questions.